today on Real Radio.
The Christian has a heart beating within them, longing for home. The Bible tells us that we are strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. You don't know what I'm talking about unless you're a Christian. We're here, we live here, we work here, we play here, we serve here, but we long for home.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Heading for Home, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Peter, of course, was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter's approach was patient and loving, but here in the book of 2 Peter, well, Peter knew that his time was limited and much was at stake. Now, for this reason, his words are urgent and his message is really straightforward: to combat the false doctrines and teachers of his day. Now, in chapter 10 of 2 Peter, our thoughts are focused on home. For the Christ follower, our home, well, it's in heaven, and it's where we want to be. And that's why Peter challenges us to be even more diligent and more determined to increase our efforts in sharing the gospel. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that when we're focused on God and delight in studying His Word, we'll not fall away when there's trouble. God promises that all things will work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. And now in his message called Heading for Home, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, we ask you to change us, transform us today with our brief time together. Father, may you cause within our spiritual tank an explosion to take place. Father, you would propel us out of this building in the next 55, 59 minutes. And what is instilled within us, God, would change the world around us for Jesus' sake. We ask it in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today's message is entitled, Heading for Home. Heading for Home. I don't know what you think about when you hear that announcement. Heading for home sounds like maybe part of a baseball game, maybe, you know. He's heading for home. I think that heading for home is defined most often by the context in which you and I are living through at the moment. You might have a very busy day, and at the end of your 12, 13, 14 hour day, you're happy to be heading home. It's interesting. You know how you judge a really good vacation? At the time you come to the end of your vacation, you are ready to be heading for home. You ever know that? I mean, listen, it's great. You go on vacation. It's like, woo, we're leaving home. And then halfway through, it's like, oh, it's great. It's great that we're here. Really good vacation is when you've had enough of it and you say, you know what? I want to go home. Thank God we have a home to go home to. Thank God as believers, no matter how often we go home here in this world, we're not home yet. The Christian has a heart beating within them, longing for home. The Bible tells us that we are strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. You don't know what I'm talking about unless you're a Christian. We're here, we live here, we work here, we play here, we serve here, but we long for home. There's something about you and I realizing, we all think about it from time to time as believers, about heading home, going home to heaven, and in some strange camaraderie, I believe it's the K word of the Greek language, koinonia, the fellowship. Something about us longs and is excited about meeting the Apostle Paul. I want to meet Noah. You know who I want to meet? Because he inspired me so much. Joshua. I want to meet Joshua. I want to talk to him. I've read his book a lot. I think I think he's going to say something like that. I'm going to say to him, Joshua, your book encouraged me so often to have courage when I was terrified. And I think he's going to say, oh man, I know exactly what you mean. I was terrified. And the Lord said to me, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wheresoever you go. I think he's going to say that. And together we're going to just clap like that. We're going to fist bump. And then we're going to go over there. And I want to meet Deborah. Deborah. Listen, ladies, Deborah. She's awesome. Deborah, look, she was Jewish. You know any Jewish people? You know any Jewish women? There's something about them. They're beautiful. I think Deborah's going to be beautiful. I can just see her in my imagination. Deborah was beautiful. She probably did her nails up because, you know, she was all fine about it. And then Israel's being threatened with invaders. And she's like, I'm going to go do my hair. And none of the men want to step up. And they know the invaders are coming, and the men are like running around, bumping into each other, falling over. And they go to her, and they go, hey, will you lead us into battle? And she's like, what? Battle? Yeah, the enemy's coming, and we need a leader. And the Holy Spirit came upon Deborah, and she's awesome. She goes like this. She goes, okay, you just need, are you sure you don't want to do it? No, we've prayed about it. We're not going to, let's pray about it. Nope, we're not going to do it. And she said, okay, just know this, God's going to give us the victory. I'll lead you guys into battle. You just need to know something before you go into battle. Forever, people are going to say, a woman led them into battle. Is that what you want said? And they said, yep, it's fine with us. And Deborah of the Bible, she was an animal. She was amazing. And Deborah led Israel into battle. And God moved. There's going to be a lot of people that you and I are going to be meeting when we go home. There's going to be a great homecoming. And Peter's talking to us about getting ready, about going home. And for the life of the believer, we live in a state. We live in a place in our hearts and in our heads of going home. The Bible tells us that for the believer, for the Christian, that we're heading home. Church, listen. Believer, listen. Our battle is now. Our boxing is now. The war is now. There's a day coming when we will be heading home. And there's no gauntlet to run. There's no thin wire to cross. There's no test that is for us to make it there. This is the test here and now. This is the valley of the shadow of death. The moment you and I breathe our last breath or we hear the trumpet blast, it all becomes clear. We're going home. Amen. And Christian, listen, it is that reality and that truth that drives you and I. That is the accelerant. That's the propellant. Let's be honest. Every one of us are going to die. I was reading my Bible earlier this week, and then I got a note. Jack, you're dying. Whoa. You ever had that? Wow. No, it wasn't from my doctor. I didn't get an email. I was reading my Bible. I'm going to die. You're going to die. By the looks of some of you, you're closer to... We're all going to die. No one's going to get out of this thing unless the rapture happens. All must die. But here's the great news. Listen, as a Christian, I'm going home. You and I, we're going to be going home. We're heading home. And this is not some pipe dream. This is not some wish list. This is the very fact of God. And Peter is going to communicate to us in a world of combat faith that now is the battle. Now is the time to be a Deborah. Now is the time to be a Joshua. Now is the time to contend and to stand for the right thing and to fight. We have a brief opportunity to be the people of God. And we begin with this, heading for home. Jot it down if you would. Verse 10 teaches us, home is where you and I want to be, is it not? According to the Bible, it's one of the telltale signs of being a true believer, longing for home. Longing for home. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call or your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. It's a tremendous statement. He's given us the banner, as it were, of the believer. Now, remember, you got to look at the chapter in the first 9 verses, as we've been studying, to understand that he's building one truth upon another and one Christian attribute upon the other. And that is the characteristic or attribute of the Holy Spirit in the life at work in a believer. And he says their virtue and self-control. He goes through that list that we studied recently. And all of those things will be active and be working. God is moving you along. You're growing up week by week. And we change by the Spirit of God. But when we look at this verse, verse 10, about being diligent, note, it's the second time in just few verses that Peter uses the word diligent again. Diligent. Be very intentional and very committed, very devotional in your walk with God. And listen, for some of us, that might come across as a word of, yeah, let's do this. You know, I guess I got to grab my pants, pull them up, get going and move on. And okay, then if that's the motivation, then so be it. For some of us, when you understand that heaven is going home, that this is good news. This is instruction. Okay, I want to be there. It's where I want to go. It's what the Bible says is the touchdown for us. It's why Jesus came to get us there. So Lord, give me some input, give me some instructions on how to get there. That's what Peter is answering those that are involved in this walk with faith. And he says, therefore, brethren, be more diligent. Strengthen your resolve. And so we look at this. The number one thing is about effort. Be having a focused effort. It's almost as though he's pounding this into us every week. I think that's very, very good. In fact, in a few weeks, he's going to say, I'm going to remind you of these things that you already know about. Number one, though, is be focused. Be focused on the effort. He says, therefore, brethren, he's talking to the church. He's talking to you and I. He's telling us to be more diligent. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 is a great verse for this. And I want you to be encouraged by this verse. Because you might be asking right now, okay, Jack, Jesus provided salvation, right? Yes. So I'm saved, right? Listen, everybody. Yes, you are. Why are you asking? Because what Peter's going to be teaching us is the believer actually knows they're going to heaven. Listen. Exempt from pride, there's no arrogance in it. There's no self-righteousness in it. If today you are a Christian and you're not sure, and if you're not confident about your salvation, how in the world can you put one foot in front of the other? How in the world can you move on to what Peter's teaching us about? What Peter's telling us about is the salvation event of our lives is a foundational fact. Move on from it. Pick up your feet, get going now. Your salvation secured in Christ. And what he is saying is the life that you live now is a life that is lived out. We studied a couple weeks of sanctification, that your life lived proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are God's child. Your actions do not save you. Your actions display the fact that you are saved. James called them works. Paul called it faith. They both coalesce. They both agree. And so when he says to be focused on effort, Philippians 2 verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also much more in my absence. Here it is. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Stop right there. Work out your own salvation. It means this. Because you're saved, pull it out. Bring it up. Because you're saved, draw it out. Okay, so you go to the doctor and they want blood from you. They ain't gonna get blood from you unless you've got blood in you. Then they can pull it out. Are you with me? You've got to be able to reach your hand in, so to speak, and take it out, or else there's nothing in there. And that's what this word means. That the salvation of God that is in you, God is saying here in the word, work out your own salvation with reverence and awe. It means, okay, now that I'm saved, watch, I don't want to be doubting anymore. I don't want to be unsure about my salvation. I don't want to be insecure on this. Good, the Bible says. Work it out. Not obtain it, you got it. Because you got it, go do it. Put it into work. How about that? Put it into action. The fact that you're saved. The fact that you're a child of God. The fact that God has opened your eyes to the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead. And you've come to him as a sinner. And you said, Lord, forgive me. And he's forgiven you. And in that moment, he's put his Holy Spirit in you. Salvation. Now what happens? You just wait until the end comes? Oh, by no means. You work it out. You put yourself in the place, as we've been saying, every opportunity to be used by God and for God's glory. Make every effort. But look back to Philippians 2:12. He goes on to say this. In verse 13, for it is God who works in you. You ought to underline that. You don't do the work. God works it out in you. Isn't that good news? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, wow. Okay, then. I don't know, man. I believe that verse. You know how we all have our weaknesses and all of our frailties? You know, we all got them. In light of all that, God says, I don't care about that. I'm going to do something. You just present yourself to me, and I'm going to do this through you, says God. What a wonderful thing. So with that, I happily yield all effort, and I focus on that. Why? Because I'm going to heaven, heading home. It's a beautiful reality of the Christian, how temporary we feel in this world. Is it increasing in you, by the way? Every time you see a headline news or something going on, it's like, thank you, God, I don't live here. Man. Secondly, in verse 10, we learn about the goal. We're to be focused on the goal. Heading home means that we're focused on the goal. He says, make your calling and your election sure. These are powerful words. The word calling, it's an awesome word. It means with definite article, the call. Specifically to you, your call. I tell you what it's not saying. It's not saying a collective call. You know, if the person next to you is saved, maybe some of that flows over and hits you kind of a little bit, and you're going to go, you're good too. No, it's individual. Look at all of you. There's so many of you in this room, but this verse means you and only you. You're not going to go to heaven because your grandma's in heaven. You're not going to go to heaven because your wife's going to heaven. This is something that is you. It's the call upon your life. And we'll see what this is in a moment. Then look at the word election. This is God's divine choosing, God's divine choice, God's divine selection can be translated. So that there's a calling that God says to the Christian. And again, you judge yourself today. Is there a calling upon your life? Is there that personal burning? Okay. I mean this carefully. There is a God-ordained dissatisfaction with yourself. You know you love him. You know he died on the cross for you. You know you're a follower of Christ. And you're certainly not the person you used to be. In light of all of that, there is a holy dissatisfaction of where you're at as a believer. You can't wait to grow up more. Why is that so? Because there's a call upon your life. The Bible says it's going to develop, and it's going to lead to the understanding of this election, the doctrine of election. Someone, by the way, has said regarding this, that Peter's saying, brothers and sisters, work hard. I like this. Listen, work hard to prove, convince, and to confirm that you are truly are among God's children and chosen of God's children. Doing these things, you'll insulate yourself from falling away. It's beautiful. It's encouraging. And regarding the election, doctrine of election, the Bible tells us from cover to cover that the doctrine of election, meaning God chooses, is based upon God's foreknowledge. Please, my dear friends, do not let anyone ever begin a conversation with you regarding and starting at the doctrine of election with the word election. You must start with the doctrine of election, who God chooses, based upon his foreknowledge. It's based on God's foreknowledge that he has elected those. You see, what does that mean? Look, putting it bluntly, God knows those that are his. He knows those who are not his. But don't assume for a moment that God says, let's see, heaven, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I don't like you, but you get to go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's not what he does. That's not what he does at all. God doesn't say, you know what, this section, just by fiat, you go to heaven. This section, you go to hell. Over here, heaven, that group, hell. It doesn't work that way. How do you know, Pastor? I know absolutely because of the word foreknowledge. God, in his foreknowledge, knew from eternity past those that would be his and those that would reject him. So the book of Romans comes along and tells us that God knows those who are vessels to honor and those who are to dishonor. Based on what? His foreknowledge. Think of it. It makes perfect sense. God knew, because he cannot learn a thing, that the day that you would be presented the gospel, you would choose the gospel. You would respond to the gospel. God knew before Jupiter was ever flung out into space that Susie would say yes to Jesus. He didn't make her say yes to Jesus. He knew she would when the invitation went out. Who gets the credit for Susie being in heaven? God does. Why? He provided the way of salvation, didn't he? Does Susie get any credit? None at all. She says, "Thank you, God, for saving me."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Heading for Home. We're glad you joined us today, and you know, our prayer is that you keep yourself sheltered in the arms of a loving God who's already prepared a place for you in heaven. Heading for Home, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, have you heard of George Whitefield? Well, don't be surprised if you haven't. George Whitefield is largely forgotten these days, but he was probably one of the most famous religious figures of the 18th century. Whitefield was fearless in preaching the gospel, and a great revival swept across the British Isles. He also had quite a major impact on what's known as the Great Awakening in America. Newspapers even called Whitefield the marvel of the age. It's why Pastor Jack chose May's Book of the Month to be George Whitefield, God's anointed servant in the Great Revival of the 18th century. Long title, but filled with an amazing source of quotations from not only Whitefield, but other prominent figures of his day, including John and Charles Wesley and Benjamin Franklin, who I'm sure you've heard of. So head over to our website, jackhibbs.com, and for a gift of any amount, pick up a copy of George Whitefield, God's Anointed Servant in the Great Revival of the 18th Century. We're sure it will not only inspire you in these troubling times, but encourage you in the faith. Again, it's called George Whitefield, God's Anointed Servant in the Great Revival of the 18th Century. And you'll find it at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.